The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He has gotten even busier with healthcare.com as a senior advisor. I would love to see some of the questions coming in there, but that's another story for another time. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Well, I'm as you say, I'm very busy, and we've got a lot of news today to cover. So let's. There are rumors flying, all kinds of half-truths about what's going on at the Sharon Health Center. I think we should get to the bottom of that. The health center is becoming a full-time COVID center. That's absolutely true. The last of the regular patients, the nursing home patients that they have moved out to other nursing homes. So as I speak, all 88 beds there are now being taken by recovering COVID patients from around the state. And I emphasize recovering because the hope is that for those patients, the worst is over and they're coming there to recover, okay? For example, none of them need ventilators, and that's very good because there are no ventilators at Sharon Health Center. But look, the patients are sick. And there are no guarantees that they'll all make it because this is COVID-19 is a very tricky disease. You can seem like you're getting better and then people relapse. And we'll get into that in a little bit more detail in a minute. Now, there have been maybe a dozen protesters outside the center from time to time saying that the COVID patients are a threat to the community and they shouldn't be there, residential area. They should all go someplace else. So the question is, what is the center's owner, Athena Healthcare, doing to keep the 100 workers or so at the center, plus the management and the patients? What is Athena Healthcare doing to keep them safe? Because if they're safe, we're safe at least from what's going on at the Sharon Health Center. So, Jill, I did what I've been doing for decades, okay? I picked up the phone, did some reporting. So I just interviewed Sawyer Thornton. She's the head of the health center, and I talked to her at length. So here's the latest on safety at the center. The staff is taking the temperature of everyone entering the building. Okay, can't get in without your temperature being taken. You got a temperature, you go home. And the only people allowed in the center are those workers, okay, managers, and family members of the patients who, and this is just any family member get in. It's only the family members of patients who are facing imminent death. They need an order signed by a doctor. Then they are allowed in as well. Otherwise, it's shut to the public. And Thornton stressed that she has a ton of PPE. That's personal protective equipment. And she must have said it five times. I've got a ton of the stuff. It's so much, it's in the shed, in the back, if we really need it, but she's got a lot of PPE. Now, that includes surgical NR95 masks, those high-level masks, not just paper masks. And she said that any stories of workers wearing the same paper mask day after day, if that happened in the past, that is a thing of the past. Now, thanks to management and the state, she's got a ton of PPE. She also said, the staff is being trained and retrained. And here's a quote. She said, and very candid, no one asked for this, and it's scary, but we're in it together, and I'm very proud of the staff. They've all stepped up to the plate. So she's feeling good about what they're doing there. But despite the efforts, she said that one patient had died 2 days ago, and another appears to be close to dying. So they're doing their best. But as she said, there are no guarantees, okay? In addition, she said that two staff members have tested positive for COVID-19, both have recovered. And eight of the regular nursing home patients also tested positive. They tested everyone. Three have recovered, okay? And the other five are still at the nursing center being treated. So Jill, I was very impressed with Ms. Thornton. She grew up in Sharon. She's a Sharon kid. But the thing I really like about her was she was straight. She was candid. And she said to me, look, I don't do anything that I don't ask my staff to do. I put on the PPE and go out there and work with them. I do all the training. I do the retraining. And she was also very candid about the fact that Sharon Health Center is actually a small part of a billion-dollar organization. She said that gives them support, gives them advice. She thinks it's a big plus. So I've always, and I don't know your view, you probably had a more sophisticated view of the Sharon Health Center. I always thought of it as a little skilled nursing facility, you know, just as a local, little local operation. But honestly, it's anything but that. First off, it's owned by a $5 billion private equity fund. And I said billion, okay? $5 billion organization. Secondly, Connecticut is paying the center over $600 a day for each COVID patient. So when the COVIDs fill all 88 beds, as they are right as we speak, okay, Little Sharon Health Center stands to collect something like $52,000 a day from the state, $369,000 a week, and that adds up to $19 million for a year. If this went on for a year, that little place would be bringing in close to $20 million. So seems to me, just my little opinion here, seems to me if you're bringing in a windfall like that, that's more than enough money to keep giving the staff the best possible training and PPE. So let me turn to the protesters. I think the protesters, you know, they've got every right to go out to the center and they can yell anything they want to yell, carry any sign they want, fine with me. But my opinion, they should stop saying COVID patients shouldn't be in Sharon. What's so special about Sharon? Okay, it's a residential, it's not such a residential area. And anyway, these are people who need care. They're from all over the state. They're overflowing into out of the hospitals and into nursing homes. They really need care. And they're not going to go away until they're well, okay, until they recover. And Sharon Health Center is a good place for them to go. So instead of protesting about, you know, the patients, they should protest for the $5 billion Athena Healthcare to do everything it can with its COVID windfall, this really money that's rolling in now. Okay, let's protest that Athena spends that money to protect its workers and the managers. These are the people on the front lines. If Athena protects them, they'll be protecting us. So for openers, I would say, you know, Sharon's workers make about $20 an hour, roughly. I think they deserve more. And I think they deserve more than Athena's $200 bonus, one-time bonus. Athena is also giving them an extra $3 an hour in hazard pay. Yes, indeed, it is hazard pay, and I don't think $3 reflects that. So the protesters, my opinion, okay, if I was out there with a placard, I'd be saying, let's stop raising our voices against the patients. They're sick and need help. Let's instead raise our voices in support of the workers and managers who are doing the best to help those 88 patients get well, okay? And when they get well, they move on. Now, I'd add this. Remember, COVID-19 is highly contagious and it kills. So you don't know who might need skilled care like you can get at the Sharon Health Center tomorrow. Anybody, all of us, any of us could wake up tomorrow with a dry cough, fever, feel short of breath, and then you know what? Then we really could use some care like that is available at the Sharon Health Center. So, okay, Jill, that's the latest on the Sharon Health Center. Now yeah. we can turn to happier things.
Well, I actually think that's not only happier, it's constructive. And, you know, just given what's happened with the small business loans, et cetera, and how some of them were sort of, shall we say, diverted to through big banks to their big clients, you're just because. You know, there needs to be some sort of understanding in the bigger world about what happens in the little world. And if the Sharon Health Center is, and it is, you know, owned by a multi-billion dollar entity, it would be really let's just call it good karma. It would be really intelligent to take care of the people who are actually doing the work.
And yes, absolutely.
That's pretty
much. They should be fairly compensated, and I really mean that. I mean, $3 hazard pay doesn't reflect the danger.
Close.
I mean, you're risking your life going in there day after day, even with a surgical mask, treating a 88 beds filled with COVID patients. And as we say, okay, they're recovering. Most of them are, yeah, but others are having relapses. And they're not necessarily the easiest patients to deal with. That you can be disoriented, you can seem to be out of it, not take instructions. This is not easy work. This is difficult work and dangerous work. Now, on a happier note, or half happy, you know, our son-in-law who's now joined us, he applied for one of those loans for his business, and he's just a little guy, and he got aced out, and they just ran out of money. But they tell him that he's among the small companies that now will be first in line, and he will get, you know, a loan. And a loan for him is, you know, like $20,000.
Exactly. We are something
yeah.
Something
I mean,
like,
we're not talking $20 million for Ruth's Chris Steakhouse here. We're talking about keeping a company going with about 50 employees that he has, and he needs $20,000 to get another month or two before as business hopefully picks up.
Quick question. Was he with a bigger bank or did he have a local bank?
No, Chase.
All right, and I've got someone else waiting. Excuse me, my opinion, stupidest note from Chase I've ever seen. But, same thing. And this is something that I just want to invoke. My dad, you probably grew up this way. And mm-hmm. I went after my sister about this because she's also on the Chase thing waiting, and she got aced out too because she's small, very small, which was the whole purpose of this entity.
We thought it was.
It's what it
we
was.
That was the whole idea.
The
right?
intent.
But they ran out of money because they gave too much of it to big companies.
But who thinks that you can go to the little? Who thinks that you should be? I understand that it was inarticulately written. I get all that.
Mm-hmm,
Let's
mm-hmm.
just talk about. All right. If we are all in this one. In the same boat here, which we happen to be, and it's fairly, you know, it's not like just Connecticut or just New York, or it's mm-hmm. the world. So let's
let's see if they step up the second time, and if
absolutely,
they really
but,
do.
But what I want to say,
and you can say it was like an innocent bad writing of
the
bill.
I don't say it was. I say it was really, really poor form, and that's why I am making
very clever lobbyists who got that in and
absolutely.
Then alerted all of the big franchises. Companies said, guess what?
You can get
a loan for each one of your franchises. How about that? Each one of those things are just a little small business. All right, look, let's talk about happier things. So our kids have joined us. That's Needham, our son-in-law, and Ben, and little baby Gigi. She has red hair, and she's left-handed, and she scoots around because she's a toddler, and now she can run. And she runs across the room to get a bite of a sandwich, and then she runs back, and then she runs back for another bite. She is
so the energy,
hilarious.
The energy level in that house is improved by a
She's
long chalk.
Really cute. And, you know, we did it the safe way, or the safest. We were going to pitch a tent in the backyard. Please, my God, how nuts can you get? Instead, we rented a little furnished cabin not far from here. They stayed for self-quarantined for about 15 days. They're all fine, no symptoms whatsoever. And they didn't have symptoms when they were in Brooklyn either, but there's a lot of fear out there. So we want to be doubly. So they came last night. And I got to tell you, Jill, there was a lot of hugging, you know. There were three Negronis that I counted. There might have been more when I turned my back. We had Vino Rosso 2010 that went with our short ribs. Carol's a really good cook. So anyway, we had a wonderful little family evening. And so now we're isolating together. I've got very good friends. I don't know what you think about this. They've got a big house, and they've got their family with them, and they've had them with them for weeks now, like us. But they try to stay separate. Under one roof. Okay, so they're in different parts of the house. The house is big, but please, they try to stay separate. They don't eat together. They eat separately. And my good friend hasn't hugged his grandchildren. He's afraid to hug his grandchildren. Hasn't done it for weeks. I mean, Carol and I just can't do that.
But I did you?
We're hugging our kids. I mean, we're petting the dopey Roo the dog. I mean, we're and we're certainly picking up. We're certainly picking up and hugging Gigi.
And yeah, this is again. I guess I understand not, but no one really wants my opinion. But there's a tremendous amount at this juncture of fear, and sometimes fear doesn't help make the best. It doesn't help you make the best choices for your individual situation. That's all.
Look, I mean, if we said to the kids, you know, you're in Brooklyn, come on up tomorrow and let's all hug. That's not smart. I mean, I agree with that.
But you can.
We did it in state. Now I got to ask you this: are you allowing anyone inside your house?
Yes.
Okay. Like repairmen, like friends, like what?
Let's see, the toilet and the vacuum cleaner were broken.
Broken.
So yes, yes.
Yeah, we had a broken window.
But
we're not going to sit around with a broken window.
But I know. Also, again, I know these people. It's not some random person that's coming out of such and such.
Right.
So I know that they've been quarantined, and that is the key. And I think that mentality is, you know, not entirely. If you've lived here, that's one thing. If you haven't, it's different. So
yeah, we're familiar with the repairmen too, who show up. But look, there's beyond that. I mean, everybody who comes in wears a mask. We have rubber gloves. They don't have gloves. We give them gloves. Then we followed after they're finished doing whatever they need to do, and we keep our distance. And I actually open the door. So they do not have to even touch the doorknob. I open the door, they come in, they do what they have to do. When they're gone, I go in, I've got this spray can, it's full of Clorox, mixture of water, and I spray whatever they've touched. I let it soak in there for 10 minutes, then I go back with a clean, wet cloth and wipe it all away. We're being doubly careful. This is not a monastic retreat. This is our home, and we want to live it as normally as we possibly can, knowing that we can't throw a dinner party or a big barbecue in the backyard. I mean, that was our plan for this year, to spend time up here and invite all our friends, have big parties. We can't do that, but beyond that, we're going to live our life as normally as we can, and getting the kids under our roof and giving them a hug
is a start.
Lifted our spirits tremendously.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available in store, online, on my desk.